AJ, isn't Home Alone 3 a Christmas movie?
Trevor, let me borrow the words of Mr. Unger in the first 10 minutes of this movie.
Your fare from the airport around 1620 hours, January 8th.
Let the record show that Home Alone 3 is not a Christmas movie. Hi, everybody, and welcome to a new year and season four. Trevor, it's season four of the Old Kids Movies. I'm AJ Beltis. I'm here, as always, with Trevor Howell. I'm too excited for a new season that I don't even have a clever comparison to make between Trevor
parrot.
And I. Yeah, I guess you are the parrot. I would be happy to be Alex. Alex stood out to me as probably the best part of this movie.
Okay. Well, I also want to say, you know, that I didn't have any qualms because I'd never seen this movie before about if it's a Christmas movie or not. Watching the movie, definitely not a Christmas movie. You could literally set this movie at any time during the year. The snow part of it, it didn't even have to be snowy. Like, this could literally be any point during the year. You could set this in the summer, the fall, the spring, whatever. They just happened to set it at winter and have a little bit of a snow thing. But you didn't technically have to do that. However, they play Let It Snow in this movie. And Amanda brought up, like, isn't this a Christmas song? And I said, well, kind of, but there's nothing Christmassy in the song. It just talks about snow. There's no, like, line about Christmas in that song.
Right. And, I mean, Jingle Bells is not, that's a Thanksgiving song, technically, I think, too.
And so is to Grandmother's House We Go.
That's Thanksgiving song. Thanksgiving well, speaking song. Speaking of Christmas, Trevor, how was your Christmas? How was your holiday? How was your traveling?
Oh my God, I was gone for like 3 weeks or more, and it was just so long. And I don't know if I could do that again, but it was great.
We hung out twice, so I'm not complaining.
We did hang out twice. We got to, you know, we went to the brewery recording an episode, now out on Patreon, which you can go. I'm sorry, it was late. Then I got to spend time with the family. I got to see some friends. Amanda came. Then we stayed in Boston a few days, but then went to New York, got to see Beetlejuice on Broadway. Right before it closed, which was just fantastic. Very sad it's closing on Broadway, but it is touring, so you could potentially see it. I don't know the touring schedule, but I recommend seeing it if you're into musicals or Beetlejuice. I'm not into musicals as much as like someone that goes to Broadway multiple times a year, but I do like seeing them when I can. And this one was a good one. This one was fun. How about you? How was surprising your grandparents in Florida, the best state in the United States?
Well, okay, so the issue with it was that I got there on Christmas, and I got there on the 23rd, and the 23rd to the 26th, which is when I was with my grandparents, it was cloudy and didn't get above 51 degrees. So it wasn't what I was hoping for exactly, but, and I will say, you willed that into existence. You're like, I hope it rains and it's cloudy the whole time in our Home Alone 1 and 2 episode, and it worked. But it's better than what most of the Northeast had. Like, I know people who were in Virginia and in Alabama and Georgia who had, like, less than 10 degree weather with the wind chill. So that was shitty. But other than that, I had a great Christmas. It was awesome to see my grandparents. I had an awesome road trip back up. I saw a bunch of friends. I met my girlfriend's parents. I went to Disney World for the first time in like 15 years, which was fucking awesome, even though it was Animal Kingdom. But it was great. I mean, the lines were 4.5 hours for the Avatar ride, so unfortunately I couldn't do that. But yeah, it was an awesome day to get some miles on the road and see some people and meet some people and just have a really good Christmas and time before New Year's.
AJ just tried to soft reveal his girlfriend and wouldn't let me call it out.
Well, with that said, if you're new, since this is a new season, welcome to the Old Kids Movies, where we talk about our favorite, least favorite, most obscure, and most popular 90s, 2000 kids and family movies that we have seen, or in this case, Trevor, we have not seen, and we look at it through a modern lens and talk about what holds up about it. Talk about the cast, the characters, a bunch of other categories and sections that we'll get to later on in the episode. This is season four. It's kind of crazy.
I mean, we've covered quite a few movies now. quite a few movies. And there's still a giant catalog of movies we have yet to cover from this era specifically, but also from beyond this era that I feel like we will cover at some point. And some that don't fit. Like, we did the old Teens Month last year, which was a lot of fun. We reviewed four teen movies like movies for what exactly was the criteria? But it's kind of like, if you know, you know. Like,
it was movies about teens that came out when we were teens.
Okay.
And four teens. I feel like that was it. That really, it's not that hard of a sell.
Here we are with season four, kicking it off with Home Alone 3, a movie I thought we would never do.
So why did you think we would never do it?
I don't know. I didn't think you had any interest. I didn't think anyone had an interest in this. I've never met anyone who has seen this movie.
So here's why I wanted to get it done at some point. First off, last month was its 25th anniversary, so kind of wanted to get a little timely on this one. Second is I like talking about it. It's definitely, I would say that it's well seen. I feel like it did have a moment in like late 90s, early 2000s, but I still see it on TV. Like last year, it was on Disney Channel. Funnily enough, the scene where Alex like closes his eyes and takes the pin up, the sticky notes off his brother's pin up, they cut that from Disney Channel, which I thought was really funny. Like it's still on Disney Plus. They still promote it on Disney Plus during December. I still feel like it ends up on those ABC Family Freeform 25 Days of Christmas marathons, even though, again, it is technically not a Christmas movie. But they, like you said, they kind of capitalize on a lot of the same things about Home Alone, about the snow in the Chicago suburbs and the fact that it takes place just after Christmas. Like they talk about how their Christmas lights are still on there. They talk about, what did you get for Christmas? They're going back to school right after Christmas. So there's a little bit of that like post-Christmas feel, which is another reason why I wanted to talk about it. And thirdly, I wrote this in my Letterboxd review. It's like, whenever I go in watching this movie, because I watch this every few years, it's not an annual watch, but I feel like it's every 2 to 3 years. And just knowing the reputation it has, knowing how kind of, you know, one and two are on their own pedestal, again, critically in terms of pop culture, but three is kind of not seen as highly. And every time I watch it, I'm like, man, I wonder if I've just set my expectations, you know, perhaps a little bit too low and I'm holding on to nostalgia, or whatever reason, my last watch was too good and now I'll see it in the way that everybody else sees it. But every single time, well into adulthood, that I watch Home Alone 3, I find a lot of things in this movie that I really, really, really enjoy. So I'm excited to talk about it. I know that you don't really feel the same way, but that's where I'm at. How about you? You said you haven't seen it before.
Yeah, are you asking my initial thoughts or like my history with this?
Yeah, your history with it.
So, I mean, the only time I've seen the cover was at a friend's house, because he had I was in kindergarten or first grade, but he had like the 4-pack or it was a VHS. It must have been like the collection of all four of the original Home Alones. So Home Alone 1, 2, 3, and 4, like it was some like collection of pack. I think it was on VHS, and we were going to watch one at some point. And he mentioned something about the third film, but I do not recall what he mentioned about it. Something about one of the characters in the film. And I wish I remembered, because I was waiting for it, but I'm like, I don't know. I was waiting for it to trigger a memory of what he said. And like, I remember him going on like a 2-minute rant or not rant, but explanation of Home Alone 3, because I, at that point, had seen the first two. And no, we never saw it.
All right. And well, that's interesting. I feel like it had a bit of a life on cable. And I remember specifically there was one time where it was on TV and I was down at one of my cousin's house, and a few of our cousins were watching it. And our youngest cousin who was there, it was like my aunt came in and was like, all right, come on, it's time for you to go to bed. And she was like freaking out because she wanted to finish watching this movie and stay with the cousins. This was also the first Home Alone movie I saw, not only with that memory, but I feel like this was rented on Blockbuster. I saw this one on TV when I was in first or second grade or something. But I saw this one multiple times before I ever saw Home Alone 1 or Home Alone 2.
I mean, the other thing we might talk about is this launched the directing career of, is it Raja or Raja Gosnell?
I believe it's Raja Gosnell.
Okay. It launched,
because they mentioned it in the trailer. It's like directed by Raja Gosnell.
Raja Gosnell, this was kind of his first directing movie. He's edited other films, including the first two Home Alone films.
Correct.
Worked closely with John Hughes and everything, but this was his first directing movie, and we've already done two of his movies, Scooby-Doo 1 and 2, and we will probably do another one. I mean, we're not going to do the Smurfs, because those are later. We're not going to do Big Mama's House, because that's not really a kid's movie. And Beverly Hills Chihuahua was just a little bit late, but there's one in the middle there that's very similar to Cheaper by the Dozen that I'd like to do at some point.
Is that Yours, Mine, and Ours?
Yeah.
You did that one?
Yeah, this guy is like a kids movies legend for direction. Mm-hmm. I mean, in our era, I feel like, but he's still making kids movies. Like, still, he has a Christmas movie coming out at some point.
Really?
It's called Santa, The Adventure Begins. I'm assuming that's a Christmas movie or a kid's movie. I don't know.
Yours, Mine, and Ours. I'm sure we'll do it someday for the show. I watched it like twice and it just
terrible.
I mean, it was fine. I didn't hate it. Anyways, Cheap Brother Doesn't Just Stay With Me. That one, unfortunately, did not. So you're right. This was the first directing role of him. Let's talk a little bit about like the casting. Obviously, they wanted to get Macaulay Culkin back in it, but they had initially planned on doing Home Alone 2 and Home Alone 3 as back-to-back movies, but then they kind of backed out. They didn't pursue that. They were going to film them back-to-back. So when they finally revisited Home Alone 3 in the mid-90s, Macaulay Culkin was just done with the character. He was done with acting. I think at that point he was a teenager. Didn't really feel like anything else could be done. So they then pursued the idea of maybe having Harry and Marv in the movie and then having Fuller with Uncle Frank and Aunt Leslie be in the main characters in the movie. But nobody else in there really wanted to pursue that either. Everyone else kind of wanted to move on, do different projects. Kieran Culkin didn't want to step into his brother's footsteps. So they just pursued an entirely new career because John Hughes kind of had, I believe, was one more movie in his contract with 20th Century
Fox.
Yeah,
this is the last one.
So this is where it came. What we got, again, they kind of capitalized on a lot. This movie, I was going to talk about it, Member Berries, but they filmed it very close to where they filmed the first Home Alone movie. So I saw, we talked about how we both separately been to the Home Alone house. While I was there, I also went to the Home Alone 3 house because, like I said, it was a quick drive away. There they filmed it really close. Again, capitalizing on all of this, being home alone, busy parents, a mom with red hair. But they had to change the plot a little bit with him being home alone while his parents were working. His brothers were at school, so obviously it couldn't take place during Christmas.
Yeah. Watching this movie, I was wondering why it's even called Home Alone, because it's so different than the other two movies. I feel like this could have been called something else. It's a mix of Home Alone. It's a mix of Three Ninjas. And we talked about how Three Ninjas was borrowing a lot from Home Alone during like the home invasion scene of that and like defending it and all that kind of stuff. But I feel like this movie doesn't really have all that much to do with Home Alone, because the magic to me of Home Alone 1 and 2 is it's almost like a fantasy of, oh, you're a kid and you're by yourself. You're on your own. That's the fantasy. It's not, oh, I'm a kid and I'm fighting like terrorists, which is what this movie is. It's literally just the Wet Bandits part, but it's the entire movie.
Well, I would actually say that this movie is more worthy of the Home Alone title than the first one, and especially the second one, because the second one, he's not home alone. He's lost in the city or stuck in the city.
But he's not really home alone here either. His parents will be constantly coming back. And his siblings too.
Listen, when you think about when you were 8 years old and you were thinking about the term home alone, you would be alone for like a couple of hours while your parents were working or were on date night and your siblings were like either with you or not. And you kind of had the place to yourself like that. This is a real snippet of, oh, my mom's at the office for an hour and I'm sick. You know, not the ideal situation, but an understandable one. Like there were times where we had those like professional development days at school that it was just the school was closed for the day for whatever reason. And my mom had to work and my dad had to work. And I was just like, or they had to go run out and do something. So I just like hung around for a bit while they went and do that. Like this is a real picture of what being home alone is like compared to, oh no, my family forgot me on the plane. So if any movie should be called Home Alone, I feel like it's this one.
I disagree, because every possible moment he's constantly trying to get his parents to come back. It's like he's trying so hard not to be home alone. He doesn't take in the fact that he's home alone and excited about it. It's just like, it's almost the fact that he's alone is like not relevant to this story. It could just be the parents are just ignoring him. All of this stuff could happen with his parents or a babysitter, like asleep or just like not paying attention, because that's kind of what happens to this whole thing. It's more just like kid being a kid and people not believing him. It's like the boy who cried wolf almost.
The reason I think I disagree with you there is because every time that he catches the bandits, he is home alone.
That just happens to be what's going on there. Like, he could have caught the bandits while his parents were home. It's the fact that home alone, the whole journey in Home Alone and Home Alone 1 and 2, that couldn't happen unless he was home alone that entire time. And
correct.
Like, I guess, yeah, you can call this movie Home Alone. Like, call it whatever you want. Like, that's fine. It's not like I don't think the name of it is bad. It's more just, I don't feel like it's the best name you can give it or the best. it doesn't really feel like he's home alone that much. His parents are so within reach. They have beepers that they can get beeped whenever.
But when you're a kid and you're home alone, that's how it happens. Your parents are a quick drive away. They're not in Paris.
I don't know.
Anyways, I don't. That was a fun discussion on the title of the movie. A couple quick facts before we move into what we liked and disliked and things like that. So Roger Ebert gave this 3 stars, called it the best of the Home Alone movies, called it better than the first two. And this movie surprised.
Well, hold
this
on.
Actually, go
finish
ahead.
finish the thing. There is Gene Siskel called him an idiot, basically.
Oh, and then he fell out of his chair.
He fell out of his chair.
Yeah, I watched that. I did watch that clip a couple of years ago because I remember I have the DVD. And the DVD is Roger Ebert's quote that says better than the first two, right under Alex, like with his utility belt and the band just like sticking their heads out the door. Like I know that DVD covers really, really well. This movie made this blew my mind. It made $79 million. I don't know why. I thought this movie would have crushed it at the box. Not like Home Alone 2 levels where we're making, you know, $500,000 worldwide, but I thought it would be worldwide at least over $100 million. But the fact that it didn't even make $100 million worldwide, much less in America, that was very surprising to me. I mean, the reviews didn't help, but the reviews, it was only 29% on Rotten Tomatoes. So actually very similar reviews to Home Alone 2. Home Alone 2 was 35% on Rotten Tomatoes. This was 29%. So pretty similar in terms of what critics thought about these movies. But I think it was the lack of Macaulay Culkin, probably Raja Gosnell being in the director's chair, no John Williams, like there's no Christmas nature to the movie. Like they tried to capitalize on some of it, but it wasn't a Christmas movie. So I feel like that kind of got people talking a little bit. I don't know. Just it was a little bit of a shock for me to see this number so low in terms of the box office revenue.
I'm surprised it was this high.
Really?
I don't know.
I think everybody just wisened up and said, oh, it's not Macaulay. They're just doing a cash grab. Forget about it.
I'm trying to think of an equivalent. Oh, no. You know what's a good example? The Bourne Legacy, where it's not Matt Damon. I feel like Bourne Legacy is a good example of, you know, why it would be like feel like a cash grab. But I guess that movie made decent amount of money. I think Jason Bourne did not do super well, the sequel to that. But they had like a great trilogy and then they like added more crap.
And that's surprising stuff. Because that like the big thing was Matt Damon said, I'll only come back if Paul Greengrass comes back. And then Paul Greengrass came back and they made it. And the reviews were actually pretty meh. Unfortunately, I never saw Jason Bourne. Did you?
I did not either. But I heard it was like the most unnecessary movie ever made.
Bummer. Oh, well.
But well, I don't know. That's where the
anything
meme
else
comes from.
Yeah.
Jason Bourne is Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ is Jason Bourne. Who's that Pokemon? Anything else you want to talk about before we jump into our discussion on Home Alone 3?
No, let's jump in.
All right,
let's.
Go ahead. You got it.
I don't know.
Let's get in our toy car and drive into Home Alone 3.
It's the suburbs. Nobody's home during the day.
They've got the perfect plan.
That's the house. Tomorrow we hit.
He's got the chicken pox.
What?
And he's home alone.
Nobody's gonna do anything about this. I'll just have to do it myself.
I'll go in the front.
Heads up!
From John Hughes, the writer and producer of Home Alone.
See ya.
This Christmas, staying home will become an adventure again. Home Alone 3.
Wait till you see what I do next.
Written by John Hughes, directed by Raja Gosnell.
Remember chicken pox?
Remember chicken pox? Oh, remember toy cars? I remember.
I do remember toy cars, and it's fun to see a toy car.
An and RC C1 car. C1 being used well and properly as opposed to Stuart Little, where they actually got in the car and drove it.
Yeah, they did get in that car and just started driving it.
All right. Your first watch, Trevor. Do you want to start with like general stuff or do you want to start with like scenes?
I guess generally, if you have anything, I mean, if I have, what do you have?
I got a few things, and let's start off with a good discussion, because it sounds like you disagree with me here. I like Alex a lot. I think Alex is very knowledgeable, very resourceful, very funny. I thought that Alex D. Linz was an amazing casting choice. He's got his like little shaggy 90s haircut. There was one scene in particular where he's like saying goodbye to his mom because she has to go into the office, and he's saying things like, don't they know anything about the Family Leave Act? And, you know, what if there's monsters, vampires, or any of the other figments of my imagination? I kind of liked his performance as he went from a little snarky to, wait, but I'm serious. I'm a little kid. I'm kind of scared about being home alone.
What do I do if there's a tornado?
They don't happen in winter.
Social unrest?
I don't think so.
Boredom? I hear it's deadly in old folks.
Goodbye, sweetie.
What about crooks?
I don't think that's a problem during the day, honey.
Why not? Nobody's home during the day. I'm only 8 and I figured that out. Don't you think a grown-up crook could figure it out too?
This is a very safe neighborhood. There's only one road in and out of here. The doors will be locked. You have all my numbers. I'll be home as soon as I can.
But Mom, what about dragons, giant spiders, mummies, the living dead, and other figments of my imagination?
Alex, I can't help you there. Only you can control your imagination.
That's a scary thought.
I don't know. I wasn't like... I feel like he was set up to be like smarter than an 8-year-old because he was saying things like, what about the Family Leave Act? And he said something else that was kind of above an intelligence level of an 8-year-old.
Right.
But then there was also his like drawings, which were like made of crayon. Maybe it looked like an elementary school's art project, which I was like, yes, this is what an 8-year-old should act like. And then he's like trying to have a snowplow business, and he's like driving a literal snowplow. I'm like, I don't know. I just felt like his character was kind of all over the place for what they're trying to have an 8-year-old be. And it didn't feel like an 8-year-old kid. And I think that was kind of an issue. I think they should have made him like a little bit older, or they should have made this character like actually just innocent. I like the fact that we see him working on a science project and he's like tinkering with stuff. So you know that later he can be a little tinkerer. But also, I don't know how old, like, the oldest person with chicken pox would be in 97 or 95, whenever they made this.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so I agree that, yes, they are kind of biting off a little bit more than they can chew. And in a way, he's almost, like, everything that they want out of the character. But I thought that they did it in a convincing way, at least for me. Like, I liked his little quips. I liked, you see him, first thing you see from Alex is, you know, he's doing his business, and then he goes and he feeds his fish or he feeds his mouse or whatever he's doing. So you start to see that he's kind of a hustler, he's a hard worker, he's inventive, but ultimately he is an 8-year-old kid. And I guess I see more traits of him being able to pull off what he's trying to do later in the movie than I do from Kevin in Home Alone 1.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Alex D. Linz, because this was, again, I thought this was his breakout role. I thought he was so good, so charming, and... out of the three movies that we've done of his, we've done his trifecta. We've done Home Alone 3, Max Keeble's Big Move, and Full Court Miracle. He's only 8 in this movie, but I would hedge to say that this is his best performance.
I don't know about that. Probably.
Well, what would you put
Max
above it?
Max Keeble, probably.
Oh, okay. Megan, I'm handling this.
I feel like it was probably that. I don't give him too much like fault here. He's just kind of young, and I don't think his character has a super like... I don't feel like the direction for his character was super on there. Like, I feel like Kevin never really played as, like, oh, I'm a little kid. Like, we never see Kevin cry, where, like, I felt like this character, Alex, in this movie was just kind of not a real character. I felt like Kevin was trying to be an adult. Like, that was his character. He was trying to be an adult. Alex here... is at times trying to be an adult and also at times trying to be a kid, but being a kid before he's like home alone, I don't know, in the way he interacts with people, like he's asking for water, you know, like in a very kid-like way. And while he's also in the same scene, like saying like, oh, you know, Family Leave Act, can't you stay with me? Does that make sense?
Actually, that's in the next scene. You're right. It is an issue that he is. They are trying to get a little bit of both. And I hear the complaint. I see it. It didn't really bother me because I just enjoyed it a lot. But I can see why somebody could watch it like yourself and say they're trying to do too many things with this guy here, and it's frustrating.
Okay. A general thing I did like, though, is the remote control car.
Of course.
I thought that was fun. It was a fun little bit. I know it's a general scene right now, but the whole chase sequence with the remote control car was very, very fun. Like, that's probably my favorite part of the movie.
I completely agree. And I noticed that this watch, because, you know, I go in and I'm like, okay, what scenes am I really liking here? And it took me until that scene to actually write down an actual scene, because overall this was like a vibes movie for me. But that specific scene, it's hard to play a clip from it, but the entire chase sequence is good. And I think this is what comes from having a former editor as a director, is that you can see these visual sequences play out. And I think this was a really well shot, well edited, extended scene. I don't know how long it was, but it probably was the entire part from getting to the Alcott's house to getting the car taken to him using the car to escape the crooks and kind of escape from them. It's probably what, like 10 minutes almost? It intersplices with different locations. You're in the house, you're in the backyard, you're across the neighborhood, you're going everywhere with this car. Alex in real time is problem solving, really, like the thing is going out of range. But also in this meantime, the parrot is being really funny. You've got Alex like yelling "See ya!" and like speeding away. There's a ton of comedy. There's this one moment where one of the guys and Alice like kind of jump up over the fence and hit each other and headbutt each other. There's another moment where somebody kind of dives for the toy car when it's out of range, and Alex goes and takes it and pushes it somewhere else. It's just a very effective, funny, well-edited, relatively dialogue-free sequence of the movie. I think it's the best part. I agree.
I like the parts when the crooks are not actually in Alex's house. I like when it's a twist on the Home Alone, like home invasion defense genre, where he's trying to protect the neighborhood. Or trying to figure it out. He's almost trying to do like a Rear Window / Disturbia style thing where he's like spying on these guys, like, hey, what's going on?
Did you just make a Disturbia reference?
Yeah, I like Disturbia.
I feel so accomplished.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, but I said Rear Window first.
I know, but you still included Disturbia, yeah, okay, which makes me feel so accomplished.
Good for you, AJ. You win. You win another movie recommendation that I'll watch. If you buy me the DVD.
Blu-ray. And I was drunk.
Yeah. 4K HD. Oh, God. I didn't know that part. So once the crooks like get into his house, that's when I feel like it kind of falls apart. And you say this movie is made by an editor, and like you can see that the editing is great. I feel like it's not made by someone who understands what like a visual representation when you're actually blocking a scene looks like. Because it's editing. Sure, it works for the actual story, but I do not know what the house looks like. I can't tell you what the neighborhood looks like. I can't tell you how the house is constructed where the McAllister's house. I could tell you what it looks like. I could probably draw a picture of what the McAllister's house from Home Alone 1 and 2 looks like, because in the first scene, we see it. The opening scene of Home Alone 1, we see everyone running around. We see how it looks. We go from the base, like from the attic to the basement. We see everything. In this movie, we don't. And I feel like a house is such an interesting place to have like an action sequence. I mean, just think Parasite. They made that house for this movie and it just looks fucking incredible. And I think there's something lost there because there's a lot of room to have exciting action sequences, but I kind of am lost because I don't know where they are and I don't know the stakes based on, you know, where they are. You could have like, hey, there's three levels here. If the crooks get past level one, they have level two. I don't know. You know what I mean? Do you agree, disagree? Were you with me on this?
Yeah, I mean, candidly, I was trying to save that for the second part of the discussion, but I agree. Yeah, I think the weaker part of the movie was the pranks, and that's actually when, especially like right when they were starting, I was kind of tuned out a little bit. Now, I kind of got back into it as the pranks started getting a little bit more, especially towards like the middle end part of the pranks, but yeah, right when they were starting, I was kind of not vibing as well with those sequences as I was with the before part of the movie. But that actually leads me into another scene that I really like, and that's kind of the montage of Alex setting the traps. First off, awesome song choice. that whole "This is my town" montage, you know, watch yourself if you come around. When you're 5 years old and that guy just screams into his microphone, and if you're ready to see hell, you're like, yeah, man, I'm ready. Let's do this.
Here we go, Doris. It's just you and me. I mean, there's someone else?
Get ready to rumble! Lay down!
As a kid, that scene and that song completely stayed with me.
Yeah, I have not heard this song before.
I know, but I feel like it was used in this movie. I don't think it was ever big anywhere else. But I friggin' loved this scene, and I loved that song choice for it.
He's like setting everything up.
Yeah, I mean, when he's using the snowmobile, or not the snowmobile, the snowplow and the lawnmower and things like that.
And I like when he's setting everything up, and I like that he tinkers. Like, I actually really, really like that he tinkers. We see the gun that shoots the thing. But I do want to say, he's like shooting a woman's ass on the screen. This kid is horny. He's like watching bikini women. I don't know what he's watching. He's like watching.
Well, hey, he covers his eyes when he takes his brother's pinup.
I don't know. He's watching like Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition.
It was an exercise video. What are you talking about?
Was it an exercise video?
Yeah, she was like doing squats.
Okay.
I've seen squats. This movie more times than you, Trevor.
That's fair. He was watching it for the plot. He was watching this exercise video for the plot, AJ.
Sure. What else do you have for moments that you like?
I like how they get the cops kind of out of the way on this, because obviously the first thing you would do is, if you see a burglar as a kid, you're home alone, is call the cops. You call the cops, and it's clear, like, okay, he's on his own. And I like the fact that it's clear he's on his own. And the parents, they even get the parents in that, like, they're on their own. I feel like a lot of positives come with negatives because, again, his siblings are the fucking worst. Sorry, ScarJo.
The world laughs, Alex. You've stained the family name.
The world laughs, Alex.
You've stained the family name.
This is how teenagers talk, which is something I wrote down. I'm like, yes, teenagers talking.
They clearly rehearse that. It's like, okay, so that I'll say the world laughs, Alex. And then you say in the family name. You got it? We good?
We absolutely did.
Now wait for him to walk past us. And then when he goes to his bed, just stare at him and act like you're a member of the Addams Family. Go. Did you watch Wednesday?
Not yet. I'm debating if I'm going to or not.
I'm kind of in the same boat, but it's been renewed, and I guess people like it enough. I don't know.
I've heard mixed things.
Oh, well.
But they put out...
Anything else yet?
Don't have too many other scenes here. No, that's a negative. I don't want to get too far into the negatives yet. Okay, this is like almost a member Barry and things, but I like that he has all these gadgets. I actually like the gadgets that he has. I believe that this kid would use gadgets more than McAllister's. Like, I feel like it makes sense. He's like interested in the gadgets, especially the RC car, and he gets creative with it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of setups and payoffs there. And like you saw earlier, he's kind of has his own little CCTV kind of thing set up. I like that. And I like the scene where he takes the video camera on the car and like goes to the neighbor's house. I've never had a remote control car work that well, so props to this kid, but you kind of just believe it.
Yeah, well, hey, especially because they say it's going out of range, so they acknowledge the faults. Okay, so a few other scenes that I want to call out. Number one is when Agent Stuckey tells Alex's family at the school why Alex might be in danger.
We think he intercepted a top-secret electronic device stolen from a Defense Department contractor by a group of international criminals working for a North Korean terrorist organization.
You like this scene.
I like specifically the line delivery and how he just kind of unloads and the family is just staring at him like, what in the world are you talking about?
I liked that, but I actually said, fuck you, like siblings, when they were like, no, we're going to defend our brother now. And we're going to stand up to this guy. They fucking have been mean to Alex the entire movie. They said that he ruins the family name. They didn't call him a disease, but like they did in Home Alone 1. But they're like not nice to him.
No, they're not nice to him. But in comparison to the McAllisters, I think that this is just like, you know, continue to give him a hard time and like make fun of him kick him when he's down a little bit. Not in a good way, but like.
But they're like they're, even.
Don't you know how to knock phlegm wad? Like they're not Buzz. They're basically Megan, Linney, and Jeff.
Yeah, they're not Buzz, but I almost wish there was a little bit more nuance there.
Can you pass the false alarm? I mean, the peas.
Yeah, he's like, oh my god, yeah, we get it. He made a fuck up, or
right? But even Alex was like, hearty har har. He didn't do the Kevin like, you know, ramming into Buzz and throwing him into the milk and ruining the passports. Like you can tell that there's a little like Alex slammed his toilet seat down on the thing again. Like there's I guess a bit of like a bit of a family banter, and also keep in mind the siblings are pissed, like because they even said like now mom and dad have to fork over money for the remodel to pay for these people's doors, and we don't even like them. So they're angry and embarrassed too. So they're probably just, you know, taking it out. I'm not defending sibling mockery. I'm just saying it happens, especially in the 90s.
Sure.
So that line was good. What else we've got? Okay, it's better in Home Alone 1, but you smacked my winky.
What? Alice?
Shh.
Alice?
Excellent.
Run, Shorty, run.
Come on, Doris.
The kid!
Doris, come on.
You know, you little rat.
Smack my winky.
Well, if you changed your shorts once in a while, maybe you wouldn't have rats in your pants.
I didn't laugh at this. It was so forgettable that I just forgot it happened in the movie.
Oh my god. No soul.
No man, soul? That... Maybe I just need a little bit more elevated comedy.
I just, you know, if you get a man hit in the crotch and then yelling like an opera singer, and then Alex D. Lynn's looking dead in the eye and saying, excellent. Brings me joy every time.
I need the Wet Bandits screaming. I need some more screaming from the Wet Bandits.
How do you like it, huh? You jerk.
Mr. Unger is not Joe Pesci.
I don't know about that.
You liked these four crooks or whatever they are better than the Wet Bandits.
They were fine, but no, they were nowhere near close to the Wet Bandits. I was just giving you a hard time.
Okay.
And all right, I two other things I want to call out. Number one is I like the score for this movie. No, it's not John Williams, but I think it's a good score. And the second thing is, just like the first two, you can't help but grin when this little kid gets reunited with his mom. The music swelling up. You got some good lines in there, the same way an 8-year-old would react. And then I really like Scarlett Johansson. This is the sibling moment, too. Like, she's genuinely happy. She's like, bud, you're a hero. I think that's really cool. And then they're giving him kudos at the end where, sure, you know, he's getting a 6-figure sum. That's really cool. Like, they're hyping him up. I really do just think they were giving him a hard time that day. But I like this scene. I guess going back to that. Do you like the scene where mom comes home and, you know, he comes back from Mrs. Hess's house?
It's fine. I think I liked in Home Alone, it works better because she's also going through a journey herself just to get home and trying to like rectify for her mistakes. The mom isn't really making any crazy mistakes because from her point of view, she's like, she's actually like buying, you know, believing him. He's like, why don't you call her to say, you know, check in? And she's like, you know what? I will. I'll call her back. And so she's almost like leaning or giving him extra chances of this like potential fantasy that she assumes he's living. Mm-hmm. It's not like brushing him aside. It's like, you're just imagining things. She's like actually giving Alex a chance. And so I don't think she's a bad mom at all. And she's like literally defending him. It's like, I can't believe you're making me come into work when my kid is sick. Like, you're a shitty person. And like, she hangs up the phone and is like, this fucker. This asshole.
Oh my God. There's one moment at the first time we see the mom. What do you mean? Why can't I work weekends? And I have three kids and a husband. Like, I have a life. I have a family. And the guy's like, well, Mary Lou can work weekends. And she's like, I'm not working weekends. Screw you.
Yeah.
Regardless, I you're right. I don't think she's a bad mom at all. I think she's, you know, for the most part, she's a good mom. But to counter your point about not really having like a journey, the one counter to that, I think, is you see her running up to the house with the cop cars everywhere. And you can see how, like, you can see for a quick moment there, like, her heart drops. She's thinking the absolute worst has happened to her son. And I like how, you know, he just comes across from the other side of the street and yells, mom. I don't know. Gets me every time.
Yeah, it was like fine. I don't know. It didn't hit as hard as Home Alone. I'll say that.
Of course not. All right. A couple other questions. Do you have a favorite prank?
I liked at the end when this isn't really a prank, but I liked it when he said, like, that's not your gun. And he shoots the thing and he's like, this is your gun. And I'm like, holy shit, he's holding a gun because he got me. I'm like, holy shit, he's holding that guy's gun. This is fucked up. Then he shoots the bubbles. I'm like, oh, okay.
See, I thought you actually would have hated. I thought you would have hated that scene, to be honest.
No, I actually that got me.
Cool. I think my favorite prank was when Alice broke the railings and she's just like swinging herself up and they break. I don't know. That one gets me. And the pool always friggin' gets me. The part where they're just like holding their hands up and they're just screaming because they're so cold.
I didn't really like any of the
other pranks. It's funny. Fuck you. This movie's funny, Trevor. This movie's funny.
There's so many stupid sound effects. It feels like a Looney Tunes episode.
I literally checked.
The boy yoing, I was like, oh, fuck you, movie. This movie is just antics. The entire movie is antics, which is like my least favorite part of Home Alone 1 and 2 is when it goes on for like 20 plus minutes in Home Alone 2. I'm like, yeah, it went on too long. This entire movie is that. And it just goes on so long.
Disagree, but okay. All right. A couple lines, then we can talk about things that don't work well. So, excuse me for being a good citizen. I like the way he delivers that line. Not a line, but Alex sneezing when he's hiding in the closet and Jana jumps back down. His fear when he thinks he's going to get caught again. I like, and he goes down, the gloves go back up. And I always loved the line, you're not going to find me up there, you big, dumb, law-breaking knuckleheads.
You're not going to find me up there, you big, dumb, law-breaking knuckleheads!
You thought that was like a real zinger, huh?
No, I just, that line always stuck with me.
I didn't. I thought it was a stupid line.
All right. Go ahead, Trevor. I know you've been waiting, probably because they can't say horse's ass in 2000 or 1997 anymore.
Oh, okay, there's one moment where the woman crook, I forget her name, I don't even know.
Alice.
Yeah.
Alice Ribbons.
Alice. She, like, was doing black backflips and stuff just randomly, and she became a professional gymnast. I thought that was random. There's a lot of things that just aren't set up, because you see him, like, setting up a bunch of things, but I think this comes into the fact that I don't know how the house is set up. I don't know the layout of the house. And when they go into a room, I don't know what's going to happen. Even though we see him set everything up, I'm like, I don't actually know what's going to happen here. where I think if this would have done, if this was done successfully, whenever they enter a room, I'm like, oh, I know what's going to happen now. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. And I just wasn't feeling like I was getting that. Mm-hmm. I was feeling like he was just going to start throwing bricks the whole time. Even though that's my favorite part in Home Alone 2, I just like, I don't know. I feel like the suspense and the excitement is, you know, they're going to step on a trap. And it's like, oh, they step backwards. Then they're almost going to step on it. And then they lean the, you know, in like Freaky, oh, sorry, not Freaky Friday, Parent Trap.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I guess we don't really see them set it up, but you kind of know something shitty is going to happen. Like when they step on like the rope.
Yeah, I suppose. I think I usually a couple of them coming. The one where, you know, Alex opens the door and goes, and one of the guys says, gotcha. And he steps on the floor and because you do see him kind of taking away the boards, the wood at one point in the trap setup scene. So there definitely are some setup.
Some.
But then there are some pranks that just kind of come out of nowhere.
Yeah, I think that's the issue is there's, I think, too many pranks that come out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
I mean, my biggest complaint is that it's just a movie about a kid taking on terrorists, and I think
excited for Three Ninjas High Noon at Mega Mountain.
Which is the thing is like there are movies that kind of do this better. I thought Three Ninjas did this better. Like that movie wasn't like against terrorists, but it was like kids taking on a villain. I think
Three Ninjas High Noon at Mega Mountain, which we will spoiler alert be doing for its 25th anniversary,
sure,
is literally Die Hard with children.
Is it better or worse than this movie, you think? You gave it a higher score on Letterboxd.
I gave Three Ninjas High Noon at Mega Mountain a higher score, but High Noon at Mega Mountain is considered to be one of the worst movies ever made, so I feel like I have to say Home Alone 3 is better, but in my heart of hearts, I watched High Noon at Mega Mountain on a whim last year, and I was like...
That's not the one with Hulk Hogan, right?
Yeah, I was like, this movie's good? Okay. Am I crazy? Maybe I am crazy. We're going to have a really fun discussion on that one in April, but...
Hulk Hogan's in this one, right?
In High Noon, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I think I have seen that one a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
I don't recall, though. I've seen Three Ninjas more, though. But I always saw, like I said in our Three Ninjas episode, I always saw the other cut where they lost the basketball game.
I don't know how you got that cut.
I don't know. I can't.
That cut was never released. So you must have gotten like a foreign VHS or something. Because
I rented it for, I don't know. Dude, I could not tell you where how I watched that.
Utterly nuts, but it was like a mistake print or something.
Maybe, I don't know.
Mrs. Hess sucks.
Yeah, Mrs. Hess sucks.
She's so mean.
She is so mean. And like, again, this is where I think Home Alone is kind of about other things, where you see him having connections with adults. I feel like they were trying to do that. Okay, you know, here's something I think would have made this movie better. Is if Alex Zealand's had some companion, either a friend that he was like talking to on the phone or something. You know, a lot of movies you'll have kind of a scene in the beginning where we see his best friend, or we'll see like his like crush or something, or the kid next door. And that's when he could like have someone else to recruit to make it a little bit more interesting. But I think they were so focused on the fact that this was a Home Alone movie that they didn't even think to include that. And
well, it's Home Alone.
Okay, yeah, I get that, but not really. And then he's, okay, this is why, one of the reasons why I really didn't like Alex that much, is he like scares a cat and is laughing about it. I'm like, fuck this kid. With the RC car, he like chases cat with the car. He's like, haha, I scared the cat. And he has like,
yeah, a little bit of Junior from Problem Child.
Yeah, exactly. I felt like he was Junior. You stupid dick. R.I.P. Gilbert Godfrey.
Oh, we're talking about so many of my favorite movies from childhood. This is going to be a great season. Mrs. Hess is terrible.
This is your first episode of the old kids movies. We're referencing other episodes that you could listen to now.
Well, you can. I think the biggest thing with Mrs. Hess is if you look at The Pigeon Lady and Old Man Marley, it's largely about how Kevin makes a judgment call that is incorrect. He goes off of vibes. He goes off of appearances. You know, they're not doing Kevin any favors by just staring him down the way that they do. But with Mrs. Hess, she's rude to him. She tries to stiff him on a snow shoveling job. She's very disrespectful to everybody in the airport, to the entire Pruitt family, which is Alex's family in this movie. She's like a bad person. Of course, she softens up at the end, but only because he quite literally saves her life. He's like, oh, I guess you are a sweet kid. Like, you kind of have to say that now because he saved you from hypothermia.
Maybe they had in an original script, they gave her a little bit more character. like she is either an old widow or she was married, but her partner left or something, or she just never married because she's a miserable person.
Mrs. Hess?
Yeah, Mrs. Hess, right? That's her name. So like what happened there? You know, there's something there.
Yeah, there is.
Or maybe he's just like a kid and doesn't understand.
Right. They could have done something. No, because they keep saying Mrs. Hess. The parents say it as well. So, yeah, that could have been something that they did and they didn't do it. And that's annoying because she's just a mean character. She causes the movie from going wrong. She takes the wrong bag.
And blames
it's her
it on
fault.
Someone else.
This movie. Yeah, this movie goes wrong because of her. Anyways, what else do you have?
Although, to be fair, that sourdough bread from San Francisco is very good.
Good to know. She can't make a sandwich with an RC car.
Have you not been there?
Not that place, no, I don't think.
Okay. It's pretty big. It's like
I was too busy working in San Francisco, Trevor, as you know.
There was a really bad effect when the bug got squashed.
I did notice that.
It was like green, glow in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the squashing of that bug sound effect was so ridiculous.
And that's a jerky brother move, too. He like kills his bug, and he's just mad because he got his bug killed, and he's just there with the thermometer and goes, what?
I did like that line. That was funny.
Yeah.
So he's just mad that he's just trying to fake it because I killed his bug. What? I didn't know his bug died.
You know what? I also, we haven't talked about the parrot. I don't know. Is that a pro or a con for you? What's on your mind, monkey bud?
Huge con.
Really?
Yes. Although I do give the team props for managing to train probably multiple parrots to do this, because you have to train them to say specific things. So they probably had a bunch on hand. It was a bold move and a very interesting like trick, but I do not think it worked for me. I didn't laugh at any of the times the parrots were like doing anything. It started saying Leroy Brown at one point.
Like, I want to go out on a limb and say that the parrot didn't actually sing that, and that was all recording.
You think
now
so?
Now I'm curious, though.
One Maybe. Second. Man, Leroy Brown. Man.
Three, parrot. Yeah, it was Darren T. Noss voiced the parrot. I would have been stunned because I Googled while I was watching this movie. I was like, can parrots actually memorize this many? Because the parrot was like a sentient character at a certain point. I don't know how smart parrots are. Are you a parrot expert?
I'm
how
not.
Ornithological
I'm not,
are no, your I'm, interests?
I am absolutely not a parrot expert.
Well, I knew enough to know that they did a voice. But I mean, in terms of the practical, like lighting the match and just a lot of things on demand, I thought was, yeah, they trained some good parrot or parrots. Anything else you want to say about things you don't like?
No, I think I said my piece on this.
All right. I got two things, then we can move on. Number one, I didn't need the poop moment. I'm sure you loved that, though.
No.
Okay. And the second thing, and this is, I noticed it on this watch, and it made me really angry and actually knocked a few points off this movie for me. So they go through everything. They change their flight. They intercept all the bags, whatever. They get to the taxi. They find the house. They find the neighborhood. There's 14 houses. So their plan to get this bag back, this wrongly taken bag, which I'm sure someone would love to get their right bag back, is to rent a house, establish aliases, set up an entire operation, break in, commit multiple felonies, do a week-long, two-week-long heist if they're doing a house per day. Why not just go door-to-door? Hey, sorry, I think you grabbed my bag. I talked to the taxi company. They said they took you here. I was wondering if we could switch our bags back. You're out of there in half an hour. Done.
The only explanation I could say is that it would be very weird that it's like a toy truck. They would maybe get suspicious if it's like an easy truck to get. But I don't think this is a Turbo Man truck. It's not a very, very hard to get truck. It's probably just a random fucking RC car. What I'm wondering about is, why are there two identical bags at the airport? Why don't people just put things in their luggage? Like, there are suitcases for a reason. You know, you don't carry around a bag from CVS in the airport. I've never seen anyone do that unless you bought something at the airport.
Well, I think that was it. She probably bought it on the way. And, you know, people were using it to hold other things. Like, it was a larger bag. He goes to all the different places, and they all remember when they're in the airport, they're inspecting, people were putting other things in their bag. So that was maybe their carry-on. I've used like a bag as one of like my second carry-on before.
I have not.
I mean, usually I'll put it in my backpack, but, you know, she doesn't have a backpack. Like, maybe her purse is one carry-on and the other one's her second carry-on.
This is also a very, like, pre-9/11 movie.
Yeah.
Just like this movie would not happen.
Well, anyways, that bugs me a lot, this watch. I was like, you are right. God, you are taking 2 weeks and risking everything. Just go up. I'm sure the person who took the bag by mistake was like, oh, thank you. Yes, I appreciate that. Goodbye. And then they'll spend the rest of their lives questioning. I wonder how they found my house. But you know what? I got my bag back. I'm good. Done.
Yeah, but then there wouldn't be a movie. I mean, I agree with you, but I'm saying then there wouldn't be a movie. Yeah.
Right. But it did bug me this time. It was a big bother.
I almost wish that there was another way that the things could have gotten switched. You know, if like there's some weird confusion, like, you know how in Home Alone there's a collision that it's like, oh, I swear I'm on this plane. Let me in this plane. If there was something like that where there's some mass confusion that gets someone the wrong thing, that would work better than, oh, I took the wrong bag. Well, hey, that's my bag. I'm sure you're looking for your sourdough bread that's probably stale by now. To be fair, though, the money they probably were going to make off of this deal is like insane because they're committing war crimes.
Right. Yes. And thank God that they did go about it this way. Otherwise, who knows what could happen with that missile. Do you have any adult jokes as we move on?
The only one I thought of is when Alex screams in the bathroom. I think they said, oh, he slammed.
Alex slammed the toilet seat down in his thing again. Yeah, I got to go. Again. My kid slammed the toilet seat down in his thing again. All right, I'll see you later. And also, the brother's pinup, that comes up a couple times. That was kind of an adult joke or an adult thing. The brother has like a model pinup or like a poster in his room.
Oh, yeah.
They use her in the shower, remember?
Yes.
Yeah. I was definitely an adult element, if you will. What's the drinking game?
I had a drink every time they say chicken pox and then take a shot anytime a prank happens. Or not shot, take a drink anytime a prank happens. So it's both drinks.
Sip every time that there's a prank or a bad guy gets hurt. And also sip every time the word chip or car is mentioned. And then finish your drink when the igloo blows up. We have ignition. Member berries. Trevor, do you have any good member berries from this movie?
Yes. So I remember just liking spy toys. I think like being a spy or doing spy things was so cool. Like, oh, we gotta go to get the toy. And it's just like a fucking telescope. Or like it's like glasses that you can see behind you. That was literally the shit. And we saw a little bit about this in Get a Clue, which we watched when we were on the Mixed Reviews podcast for Lindsay Lohan. But we didn't really talk too much about Get a Clue, but there was a lot of spy stuff in that movie. If you remember, they had the two-way, the glasses. So stuff like that was very, very interesting.
I didn't watch Get a Clue for the
rewatch. You didn't watch Get a Clue? Okay, but
I watched Liz and Dick.
Oh my God, that was just atrocious. I was thinking about that. I'm like, I can't believe I watched a Lifetime movie with Lindsay Lohan about Liz Taylor.
I'm so bored.
So that was definitely up there. Staying home sick from school was a thing. You know what the feeling was? Every time you went back to school, it just felt like you were gone for weeks. It's just like, oh my God, I missed so much.
What did I miss? What happened?
What did I miss? And it felt like coming, you know, it's like you lived under a rock for 2 days or a day or even just like, oh my God, what did I miss? Like, if you're homesick from school, you've missed an eternity in school time. And the other thing was remote control cars. I was such a fucking fan of RC cars. And the best one I ever had, though, I got at like a thrift store for $3 and it worked perfectly. It was the size of like my cell phone right now, like the size of my phone, like a smartphone. But it was so good. It went fast. It had a good range. I bought it like in high school, probably, because that's when I was like going to thrift stores and just like seeing what they got, you know, and it just was like awesome. I couldn't believe I found it. That's like the best RC car I had because the rest were like, I felt like there was always something wrong with it.
Good find.
Were you an RC car kid?
A little bit. I got a couple for Christmas, I'm sure, but it wasn't my passion project. My brother was big into model rockets. I don't know.
No, I wasn't. I was not a model rocket kid, but man, RC cars were literally the shit.
It was really awkward one time when my brother used a model rocket and blew up our neighbor's treehouse and had to rebuild it. He missed a date with twins. It was pretty awkward.
Oh, no. Where did that poor kid cry in private?
Sorry, you were saying about remote control cars.
Yeah, hell, I mean, now there's like drones, but drones are just... I have not owned a drone because it's expensive. And in LA, mm-hmm. it's a lot harder to fly around here. There's just no fly zones. And there's just not... I don't know. I'm not a drone pilot. That's not what I like to do with a camera. Mm-hmm. I'll stay on the ground and take photos of the sky.
Now I'm thinking about Good Boys.
Yeah. Oh, Good Boys. We'll review that. We'll find a way to review that somehow, I think.
That'd be a fun Patreon episode.
That'd be a good Patreon episode, huh?
Yeah. Member berries for me, as I said, I've been to the house. That was a good trip. The dad. Did the dad look familiar to you at all?
He did, but I couldn't place it.
So the dad is played by Kevin Kilner, and he is the dad from the DCOM. Smart House.
Oh, okay. All right.
Baby ScarJo, obviously, playing the little story. Sister. Oh, you're throwing away your dream. No, Dad, throwing away yours.
That's it. And
the last member berry that I had. So this is every here and there I will pick up a phrase from a movie or a TV show and it will become part of my vocabulary and my regiment. So, for instance, I say no worries a lot. Because No Worries was the name of Otto's band in an episode of Rocket Power. And that is why I say No Worries. There's a moment when he's on the phone when his mom calls when the burglars are in there. And she says, like, stay safe or play fair. She says, play fair. And he says, always, and hangs up. And I always say that. So somebody's always like, you know, have a safe, like, drive safe or make good choices or something like that. I always say, always, that is my immediate response, and is because of this movie.
I gotta go. Mrs. S gets nutty when you make her wait.
Okay, play fair.
Always.
I say no worries, and I cannot tell you why. I just say it.
Rocket Power. You had it in the Nickelodeon
problem,
draft.
No worries. I did, but that's not why I say it. I say no worries or no problem.
Anything else on Member Berries?
Did you have, like, a sick movie when you were at home? Like, what was the movie that you saw when you were sick at home, or what did you like to do? I feel like, have we had this conversation before?
I don't think so, but honestly, I really wasn't sick that much growing up. I can't think of many days that I missed from school. I don't know why, but I'm sure it happened, but I don't think I, like, ever really missed too many days from school for being sick. Sorry.
No, that's okay. I don't know. Anytime I was like sick, even if I like went to school or not, or if it was on the weekend, I was just like watching Disney movies. So like comfort movies. Yeah. I remember I was sick recently and I watched like the Batman movies. God, yeah, these are comfort.
Mm-hmm.
I just like.
Honestly, for me, even when I get sick now, I just get overwhelmed with frustration because I always feel like I have a lot to do. And I will typically work through, like when I had COVID, I think I took half an hour off. It was also like Omicron in May, and I was triple vaxxed, and like I also wasn't too sick. I just was frustrated that entire week. I'm like, I'm not even feeling sick. I want to go.
No, I got you. Yeah. You had it lucky. You had it easy.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't think I was ever really like too sick. I got a lot of ear infections. That was my big sick thing. But you know, I kept going into school with an ear infection. I think it was fine. I hope it was fine.
What's the next? You take us to the next thing.
So we're actually toying with a new category this year, and this is admittedly a bad movie to start it off with because there's only one kid, but we can talk about other people, and it's who's your best friend? So looking at all the movie characters in this movie, who would you want to be best friends with or acquainted with or like a pal with growing up? And I think what's cool about this is that there's a lot of movies, especially as we go into like ensemble kids movies or movies where there's like a lot of kids. It's kind of like, who do you like? What do you value in like a sidekick or a bud as you hang out? So, I mean, for me, again, it's a bad movie to start with, but I would be happy to be best friends with Alex. I think he's knowledgeable. He knows about political situations. He's a good tinkerer. I would love to learn from him. And I think he's funny. And I think he's resourceful. So I would love to be friends with Alex. I'd love to hang out with him.
I don't know if I would be friends with him.
Yeah.
He seemed probably not my speed. Well, I don't know. Maybe he didn't have friends. I didn't see any of his friends in this movie. Also, are we saying that it has to be friends when we're growing up, or can it be like someone in the movie that we're friends with now? Because there's some movies that won't have kids.
Yeah, I mean, we can take it as the movie goes, but like depends on the movie. So like, I mean, if you want to say like, I would be friends with this person now, or like when I was a teenager, I'd be friends with this person. But ideally, it's like you're the age of one of the characters or one of the main kids. Who do you want to be your friend?
All right, this is a weird take, but I'd probably be friends with Mrs. What's her name?
You'd want Mrs. Hess as like your...
It's not like I would, but I probably would end up being because I don't know. When I was a kid and growing up, and even now, I just like, I get along with like very, very old people. Like I worked in an assisted living, and like when I was working at Dunkin', everyone was old, and even working at the movie theater or clients, whatever, the customers that came in were just so old. I deal with a lot of old people. It's my destiny. So when I was a kid, I was friends with a few of like the older people on the street, and they would talk to me and I would talk to them. And I feel like I could probably charm. I would probably have some like innocence charm that would win her over.
I feel like Mrs. Hess would have no patience for you.
You think so?
I don't think she'd have any patience for anybody.
All right. Well, fine. But that's who I pick.
Okay. Fair enough. I mean, we talked a little bit about making Home Alone movie in the last episode, so I guess we can probably pass on that one. Unless there's something you want to say about making this in 2023.
No, but I am thinking about it more. I'm thinking about it more now that I've seen this, and we don't need a holiday to have a kid at home kind of movie, but we do need someone else. It can't just be one kid alone. We need to have two, three, or more. Because I think that's what's exciting about kids on adventures and kids, quote unquote, kids doing cool shit, which this is what this movie is. And I think you like those movies more than I do. It's just like, ah, kids are cool. Yeah, whoa, look at me. I'm defeating the terrorists. I want friendship. I want like interpersonal relationships. I want like actual things that happen to kids and things that happen when you're growing up. I want them to deal with real emotions and not just power fantasy, you know? And that's what this movie doesn't have any like interesting ideas about growing up or being a kid. And I feel like there's an opportunity to do that and have a fun little fantasy where you take down terrorists.
Well, we can watch Catch That Kid this year.
Yeah, right.
I guess they are the terrorists or the bank robbers. I don't know. That could be a fun one. I can't think of like a clever question for this one. So I guess just final verdict. Trevor, do you recommend this movie? And if so, to whom?
I am not going to recommend Home Alone 3, unfortunately for you. I think it was... I'm glad I watched it, so I don't have to watch it again. It wasn't like the worst thing I've ever seen.
He was such a dick, Trevor.
I'm
glad I watched it so I don't ever have to watch it again.
No, but you know, I like checking things off. Sometimes I like to checklist movies and games and books and stuff. It's like, okay, I watched it. I've said I've seen it, you know? I said I've done the thing. I have watched Home Alone 3, which means I don't have to check it off anymore. But it just, the parts I like about Home Alone and Home Alone 2 don't really have to do with the pranks. In this movie, all of the pranks. And I think that's basically where it loses me. It's on an uphill battle to win me over, and it cannot climb, it cannot run up that hill. It cannot run up the entire hill. Sorry, Kate Bush.
I just saw a star and a half on Letterboxd. It's kind of harsh.
I think that's pretty much where my opinion, what I was saying during this episode, I feel like that lines up with 1.5 out of 5. Maybe on a good day, it's a 2, but I can't recommend it to anybody, even if you liked the first two Home Alone movies, because I would only say watch the first two Home Alone movies during the holidays, and it's no longer the holidays, so you don't really have to watch Home Alone movies anymore. You can watch literally anything. And instead, I'm actually going to recommend something else which has to do with a kid overcoming some kind of thing, and I'm going to recommend The Black Phone. I just watched it, and I really liked
it. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was good. So I'm recommending The Black Phone from last year with Ethan Hawke, and I thought there was a lot of interesting uses of that. I feel like The Black Phone's a better Home Alone movie than Home Alone 3, so there you go.
I think I actually really did like The Black Phone. It made me scream Jesus fucking Christ several times in the theater, which I'm very angry at Scott Derrickson about, and also very angry at a critic named Dan Merrill, who's like, hey, if you don't like jump scares, don't worry, there's not too many in this movie.
There aren't.
And I went, they all got me. And the other thing I'll say about it is that Joe Hill is very clearly Stephen King's son. those bullies are ridiculous in The Black Phone. A distracting amount of bullying happened in that movie that took me out of it.
Yes. Okay. You are correct. The bullying was a little distracting, but I did like it. I liked the kind of him trying to figure out how to get out of this situation.
Agree. No, and let it be clear. I fully recommend The Black Phone as well. Okay. It's just I get much more on board with it once he's kidnapped. And I think that it's a bit of a slog to get there. But overall, I agree with you. I think The Black Phone is 100% worth a watch. So my final verdict, I think you tapped on something, Trevor. You mentioned a movie and it made me realize something. I really like Defending the Neighborhood movies. I love Disturbia. I love Monster House. And I really like Home Alone 3. So I am going to go ahead and give Home Alone 3 a recommendation. I think you're right. I think actually the antics and the pranks are probably the weaker part of the movie, but there's still a little bit of heart here. I like Alex. I like Alex D. Linz's performance. I like the music. I like the 90s suburban vibes. I think this is a very vibes movie. I think it's a really sweet movie. I think Alex trying to, when you're a kid, you always think you're right. And what I like about Alex is that he is right, and he is able to successfully prove everybody that he's right. Very similar to like Big Fat Liar. So I want to call that out and just say maybe it's a personal taste, but I really like that in movies, and I really like this movie. I don't think it's flawless. I definitely don't think it's better than the first two, but it's the third best Home Alone movie. And once again, every time I go into this movie thinking I'm probably not going to like it as much as I normally do, or I did the last time, and I'm always proven wrong. So that's where I'm at with Home Alone 3.
But would you give this movie a recommend to, let's say, someone that like, okay, let's just say like someone our age that like watches a lot of movies, but not a whole lot of kids movies. Would you give it to someone like that?
Probably not, unless they are like a nostalgic. I think somebody who has moved past the kids movies, but also like it vibes in the same way that like Cheap by the Dozen and Parent Trap. And I think you could say that those are better movies. But if you like sentimental, zany kids and clever kids movies, I mean, if you like that, then yes, I would recommend that. But if you're fully past that and you can barely even stomach the first two Home Alone movies, no, I don't think you're going to like this movie.
I think that a lot of holiday movies kind of get a pass because it's the holidays for being zany. I think that's a great word, zany. There's a lot of sub feelings of movies like, oh, this is a kid's movie, but the subgenre, what does it feel like? Is it wholesome? Is it mean-spirited? Is it zany? And this is zany. This is a zany one.
You know, if you're not going to like a movie like Big Fat Liar, then no, you're not going to like this.
Sure.
And so, yeah, totally fair to call that out. But no movies for everybody, unfortunately.
Yep. That'll do it for Home Alone 3, our first episode of Season 4.
Season 4 of the Old Kids Movies. Just, I guess, a quick preview on where we're at. Please don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at Old Kids Movies, Instagram at The Old Kids Movies. We are on Patreon, and you can get a bonus episode every single month. And as an apology for getting this one up a little bit later, thank you for your patience with that. We actually have two Patreon episodes planned for the month of January. Number one is going to be an Oscar nominations reaction. So at some point next week, looks like on next Tuesday, will be the Oscar nominations. We'll try to have an episode up on Patreon that day, if not the next day, with our initial reactions and also our top 10 movies of 2022. That episode will be out by the end of the month. And with that said, we want to give a special shout out to all of our upper level patrons. You can join at the lower level to support us, but if you join at the upper level, you get our bonus episodes as well as shout outs in every single episode. This episode, the upper level patrons that we're giving shout outs to are Sawyer Christian, Ben Franke, Ray Munoz, Trevor Sprouse, and our newest patron who joined at the end of last year, Travis Beale. Travis, thanks for joining our Patreon. Really appreciate you and everybody who was a part of our Patreon. Hope you're enjoying those shout outs and bonus episodes and monthly movie recommendations and more.
Yeah. All right. Thank you again for listening and joining the Patreon. For those who have, even the ones on the $1 level, we like you too. And keep listening and everything. You'll want to join us in 2 weeks for our next one, for one I'm very excited about.
Why is that, Trevor?
To talk about. Well, we are going on another adventure to an island to find treasure with puppets.
Huh. Why this one? Why now?
There's a very, very specific reason, but I don't want to say anything.
All right. Well, I have never seen this movie, but, I guess this novel's adaptation, I guess the first Disney version we talked about just wasn't good enough. So we have to watch another one. Is that what I'm getting?
The first one was so good that I have to watch another one because we can't do the Disney animated version again.
Understandable. Well, we will see you all in less than a week for a Patreon episode on our reactions to the 2023 Oscar nominations. We'll see you a little bit later in the month for our top 10 movies of 2022. And we will see you in 2 weeks' time for the movie that Trevor just referenced right here on the Old Skiz Movies. Thanks for listening.